We get asked about this all the time, and here is your opportunity. Have you ever wanted to share your expertise and inspire others? Well, now's your chance. Applications to teach a PPA Spring Photography Workshop are open right now, but only until February 18th. Teaching a workshop is a great way to share your skills, connect with fellow photographers, and give back to the community. Plus, big benefit here, you'll earn merits towards your PPA degree. Hello. So whether it's lighting techniques, creative posing, or even business tips, if you've got something valuable to teach, now's the time to share it. Visit ppa.com/photo workshops and apply today. That's ppa.com/photo workshops and apply today. Let's make this spring an unforgettable one for photographers everywhere. Thanks for sharing. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. You'd like to have some more leads. Well, what if it was just a credit card away? That's possible if you're running Google Ads. For some reason, you may think, I don't know about running ads. I want to build my studio organically. You can do that. That's a strategy. But if you want to grow faster and you want the machine working for you, you need to tune into this episode with Yannick Vashik. He's going to talk us through Google Ads, how they work, how to make them work better, and why they probably should be part of your marketing strategy. I would imagine if you're not running ads, you have 1,000 questions. And if you are running ads, you have 2,000 questions. But Yannick's the guy to learn from. We will talk about the big picture, what they are. We'll talk about how to make them work better. And we'll talk about once you get leads, how to follow up with them until they book. And spoiler alert, do you know how long he follows up with clients? He gets a lead from Google Ad. How much does he follow up? How long? 13 months. You can up your game. Yannick is standing by. We'll talk to him next. Yannick, welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast. How are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I knew today's episode was going to be powerful because we're talking about Google Ads and people need to learn how to run them and how to run them better. But before we even go there, I know you're going to help people because you're wearing a KMFDM shirt.
Yeah. You know, it's we actually at Imaging, I was wearing my other KMFDM t-shirt. So
very cool.
I'm so happy that we share the music taste here.
Yeah. Well, besides excellent music taste, if someone hasn't met you yet, tell them who you are and what you do.
So, yeah. So my name is Yannick. I'm sure you hear my accent. I'm originally from Poland, from Warsaw. I've lived in US for about 32 years now, but I came when I was 20. So that makes me 52. So when I came, when I was 20, I didn't speak English, so I can't get rid of my accent. So hence, you know, I hope will be still okay to understand me. I've been a photographer for professional photographer for 18 years. The first 10, I still had a corporate job. I was a director at a consulting company that was owned. It's called Avanade, but it's also owned by Accenture and Ava and Microsoft. So most many people should recognize those names. Sure. So Accenture maybe less, but Accenture is kind of similar to Deloitte, which I worked for before that. So I come from a very strong business backgrounds, as you can imagine. I decided to quit corporate world and switch full time to photography about, it's going to be 8 or 9 years now. And we were in Chicago. So I used to live in Chicago. And like 9 years ago, we moved from Chicago to California, first to San Diego. Now we are in Orange County. And we focused on different kinds of photography, but, you know, mainly corporate, you know, more businesses, whether it's headshots, branding, all type of, you know, business to business kind of photography.
Well, thank you for the background. And thank you for taking the time to teach us something that more people need to learn, which is how to utilize ads to grow the studio.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. It's so weird. For some reason, photographers and many small business owners, they take almost a pride in not running ads. Oh, I don't run ads. But with your big business background, that must not compute to you.
You know what? Yeah, people are like, I don't know, this kind of maybe an ego thing that people are like, well, now the people love me and, you know, they're going to come regardless. But a certain time, you know, like when we came to California, obviously nobody knew us. I mean, we were relatively maybe known as photographers in Chicago, but in California, nobody heard about us, especially in the business world. So, you know, we could focus. I mean, I did focus on SEO, so search engine optimization. So basically how Google finds us organically. But if you ever try that, one, you know, it takes time. Takes time to see the results, but takes time for you to do it. It's very easy not to do it properly. And, you know, Google may change the algorithm any day. And you may have been, I actually talked to somebody last week and they say, you know, she told me like, you know what, I ranked so well for so many years and suddenly Google changed some algorithm and I'm not visible at all. You know, so doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It's just, you know, the way Google maybe tried to find, you know, businesses differently and suddenly it affects our business. So, you know, yeah, it's okay to rank organically. There's nothing wrong with ranking organically. If it brings business, yes, but do not limit your business to one channel. You know, so even if you run, everything comes from Instagram, you know, don't just focus. I mean, it's good to make it better and make it more, but be, you know, be prepared that something may go, you know, different way and have those ads. That ads are much more controllable. You control how people find you and you control the demand as well, because the more money you're going to put in, the more, you know, leads you're going to get and the more bookings you're going to get as well.
Sure. Do you think it's a fear thing that holds people back from running ads, or is it just, I don't know how to use them effectively?
I think it's both. It's just a fear of wasting money, you know, not seeing the results. And I think, you know, Google's it's a very interesting company. They like to make things way more difficult than it should be. You know, whatever product you use from Google, it's sometimes it's so like backward, you know, because, you know, it looks like many times it's written by, designed by developers for developers almost. And, you know, they make things a little bit more difficult than what it should be. And, you know, Google's ads are not, it's not a simple concept. You know, there's really, you know, there takes some understanding to, you know, to run it properly, but it's very, they make it easier to go in, put my credit card, put some ads and let's go. Right. But it's very easy to waste money like this, mm-hmm. you know, and that's when people get discouraged because they may run it for a month or, you know, two. And it's like, well, you know, that doesn't work because I didn't get any, you know, didn't bring me any business.
Now, if you're already running Google ads, just forgive us for a minute, but Yannick, I want to explain like I'm 5 years old. Mm-hmm. What does a Google ad look like? What are we giving Google money to do? And then we'll get into how do we know if they're working and all that stuff. But I don't want to gloss over what a Google ad is because it's a little bit different than some of the other platforms.
Yeah. So, you know, Google ads nowadays, Google ads has many different ways of being presented to people. The more traditional ones is that when you go to Google and search for something, then there'll be some sponsored results right on top of your search results. And those are the main thing that we, you know, that we use, you know, for our business. The other ones is the display ads. When you go to different websites and you see those rectangle, square, whatever, you know, like on different pages, those are called the display ads. And then you also have Google Ads also includes YouTube ads. So that's a totally different, you know, kind of, you know, beast. I focus for our business, we focus on the search results ads. The display ads are, we did it, but, you know, we use it only for remarketing. So if somebody comes to our website, then we put them, our ads on other pages so they can, it's a, like a reminder that we know that what, you know, what they signed up for before.
And that search ad is mm-hmm. essentially cutting in line. Like exactly. SEO would bring you organically, but if you give Google money, it'll just put you at the top.
Exactly. So, you know, even if you rank number one in organic search results, you're still not going to be on top of the page. The ad actually is going to be on the top of the page. So not only that it's a shortcut, but it's really being on top of the page. Yeah. So, you know, one thing, you know, that I do is actually, you know, I ran ads for my own name. So even if somebody searches for me, I still run ads to be on top of myself.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's funny. Because, you know, sometimes Instagram may come as first, sometimes Facebook, but I want my webpage to be on top.
Yeah, it's brilliant. okay, we could spend an entire YouTube episode on what buttons to click and how to do the tags. And we're going to gloss over that for a minute. I want to talk a little bit bigger picture, because there's one side of how do we know if they're working? Then the other side is how to make them work better.
Yes.
So let's start with how do we know if they're working? If we're running ads, what does a good job look like?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line, Google Ads are supposed to bring you money, right? So, you know, if you look at from the Google ad, the end result should be more money for us, for the business. So if you know that they're working, it means that we make more money. So that's, you know, the kind of, you know, one sentence, you know, answer to this. If they don't make money, even if you get a lot of clicks from the ads, or you get a lot of people signing up for something, if it doesn't bring you money, there's just, you know, the return on investment is, you know, bad. And basically that's what, you know, we should look at, you know, when we run any marketing campaign, the return on investment should be there. Whatever the return is, right? I mean, most of us, you know, as photographers, the return should be book sessions or some kind of jobs that we want to land. You know, some people run, you know, marketing campaigns just for their pure presence and brand recognition, etc. But those are usually much bigger companies that you really care about just the image and just awareness versus really do the bookings.
And just to give us an idea, is it a 2-to-1 return is a good job? Is it 3-to-1 return? Like, how do you evaluate your own performance?
You know what? At the beginning, for me, was even if I get my money back from the ads, was good enough. You know, and I tell you why, because, you know, that's kind of, you know, counterintuitive. It's like, you know, okay, I'm going to spend $500 and I'm going to make extra 500, you know, so basically I'm at net zero. Doesn't sound good, but if you're starting, you know, and you want to have more people in front of your camera, that's a great way to do it, because the people that you have in front of the camera, that's your new network, right? And you can work with them to get you more business, because if you do an awesome job, they're going to tell their friends or colleagues, etc., you know, to bring you more business. So that's at the minimum. Like, don't lose money. Make at least the money that you invested. 2x, 10x, you know, the more X you have, you know, if you have 10x on the return, it's fantastic, you know? I'm usually happy if I make 3-to-4x on my spend. So if I spend $1,000 ads, if I get $4,000 in return, I'm happy with that.
I love the X's. Bring me all the X's.
Exactly.
2X, 3X, 4X. X's are great.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get an ad that's at least breaking even, or it's doing 2 or 3X, how much should we pour on Google? Like, how much money should we spend?
I actually had a conversation with my mentoring group, you know, earlier today. You know, if something is good, you know, do more of it and better. So, you know, it's, you know, if you make, you know, if you spend $500 and it gives you $1,500, then, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, it's going to bring you money. Obviously, at some point, it's going to stagnate a little bit more. You cannot just put $100,000 and it's going to give you a million, you know, that doesn't work like this. But basically, you know, you can start spending more money on the ads and then get the return back. And then at some point, when it's flattened, you know that this is kind of the limit where you can be, you know. But, you know, if something works well, you know, and that's what usually people realize, if something works well and gives you money, they don't feel bad about spending more on Google Ads, right? You know what? If I spend about between $2,000 and $2,500 per month on Google Ads. And, you know, to some people, it's like, you know, when they look at me, it's like, that's crazy. Why are you spending so much money, you know, on Google Ads? I said, because it brings me business.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't I, you know? So, but, you know, like I tell people, like, you know, to start, you can spend maybe $400-$600 per month on Google Ads, and then let Google, you know, learn everything, you know, what you do, and then bring, and then once you tweak it and make it, make it better, then you can start increasing the budget per month.
Mm-hmm. We start running a Google ad. We're at the top of the search results for headshots, let's say. They're starting to work, but they're not as efficient as they could be. So let's turn our attention to the landing page, where that link goes.
Yeah, so, you know what? You know, I'm glad that you mentioned, because, you know, one of the mistakes that I see when people are running Google ads or Facebook ads or Instagram, whatever, you know, as photographers, we bring them to a homepage before even about talking about landing pages, right? Bringing, you know, if somebody click on your ads, it means that you pay for it, right? That you know, whatever the fee is, whether it's $3, $5, you know, $7, you already paid for that person, you know, to come to your page or to, you know, to your website. If you take them to your homepage, they are distracted by everything. They're distracted by different menus. They're distracted by different photos. And, let's say you hire a photographer. Oh, you do video too? Oh, let me find out about video. It's like, you know, they can navigate through your website and then somebody calls them, you know, from the office. Oh, we need to do this. And poof, they're gone, right? They're not on your website anymore. And they forgot about what they were doing. So taking the, you know, from the clicks, taking to your homepage or to a page that is not really optimized for Google Ads is basically like wasting money, right? Because, you know, you spend the money on the click, but you didn't get anything back in return. The chances for that person to come back and book anything or provide you their information is minimal, right? So that's when it comes to the term CRO or conversion rate optimization. And that's the rate in which, you know, that's a rate of how many people visit your page and then how many people actually take action on your page, right? So landing pages, you know, are basically pages, individual pages that are optimized for specific ads that you run. So let's say if you are, family photographer, you can have a separate page just for family photographer. Let's say you're running fall mini sessions. You should have a landing page just for fall mini sessions, right? And the only thing you can do is on fall, about fall mini sessions, you know, to, you know, some special, right? If you're a headshot photographer, you can have a separate landing page for individual sessions, or you can have separate page for team headshots, because those are two different ads and two different kind of actions that you want people to take. So landing pages are basically pages, could be on your website or could be on a different platform, but the main thing, they're optimized to have only one action item, nothing else, no menus, no click, you know, the logo should not be clickable. And this, you know, you want the visitor from that on that page to take only one step. And, you know, whatever the call to action is, but that's the only thing they can do on that page.
So it's clear with only one thing to do, but you're not bouncing them only to a calendar to book their session. You have to tell the story a little bit to get them to do it.
Yes, you know, and you know what? If you were at my, you know, imaging class, I went actually through the whole structure of, you know, what the landing page should be. And if anybody's interested, maybe we can put in notes of the podcast, you know, where, you know, to get the presentation from imaging. And there's actually a whole presentation, a whole PowerPoint about which section to have on your landing page. You know, from the hero section to the problem definition, how you can help them, you know, the process that you have, some social proof, you know, on your landing page. But yeah, basically, it should be the whole story. So it should be a text combined with images. Don't just put portfolio. Don't just tell them how great you are. It's focused on them versus you. Okay. But then to answer your question, we shouldn't, you know, when somebody comes from the ad, we shouldn't just ask them right away, just book session with us, because they don't know us. They don't trust us. Why would they put the money on the table to somebody that they met for the first time? We just don't do it in real life. You know, why would they do it on the website? And I think the first one is like the first item. It's what's called the lead magnet. So you have to give them a reason to provide, you know, you their information, right? So we don't get any money commitment on the landing page. You know, it's more about getting information, whether, you know, you provide them certain guide or, you know, additional a book or document, you know, or you can give them a special, right? You know, there are many different ways that, you know, you can have the lead magnet defined depending on the genre of photography that you do. Mm-hmm. Google Ads usually, you know, it's a kind of deal, make a big, a good way to convert on those landing pages, or extremely good stuff. You know, what I say is like, if somebody else charges for it, provide it for free, and then you have a good lead magnet, you know, because the lead magnet has to have a real good value to the visitor. It's not just like pseudo value. It's not like, you know, pretend to have value. No, it has to have a real value for them to really, you know, be willing to, you know, to submit their information.
And that would tickle the thought process of, well, I can't give that away for free. That means you're probably doing a good lead magnet, that you're giving value so tangible that someone would want it and want to digest that information.
Yeah. And then, you know what, there's, you know, this thing that, you know, if you give something for free, you know, you give something, people feel, you know, the reciprocation is a great, you know, great force, you know, people, you know, they feel internally, like when we feel like, okay, we got something good, you know, and we start to trust that person and now we're willing to, you know, to spend money, you know, with that person.
Talking about the items that need to be on the page, how important is, well, first of all, define it, but how important is social proof?
Social proof is extremely important. You know, because, and it's the social proof on your landing page. Actually, even if we go back on my Google ads, I actually say how many 5-star reviews I have already. So that's one social proof. I include in my ads how many people I photograph per year. And I don't even say I photograph, let's say, you know, we photograph over 6,000 people every year. I don't say, you know, I photograph 6,000 people every year. I say we make 6,000 people photogenic every year, you know, as a social proof that, you know, we actually made them photo. Because, you know, most people, you know, when we come for headshots, it's like, I'm not photogenic. You know, like, right. I mean, you know, we all heard it, right? When people, when we photograph people, it's like, I'm not photogenic. You know, it's like, I hate my photos, right? So that's, you know, so those are even in the ads, I provide the social proof that, you know, we help other people, okay? And then on the landing page, you know, we provide the social proof along, you know, throughout the page. We don't just put one section and then all the reviews, but we put the reviews and testimonials throughout. And then the social proof is also the before and after transformation of the headshots that we do. So, you know, there's a multiple basis of social proof that we can have, you know, on the landing page. Because, you know, the landing page is, besides, you know, giving a value, it has to also build certain, the first level of trust, right? That you, that you're an expert in whatever we do as photographers.
We run the ads, we get some clicks. We get the clicks to a really good landing page. They give us their email, they get the lead magnet. Now let's talk about what happens after that. How do we communicate with a lead once we have their email address?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great question, because I think, you know, if we don't do the book now, we know that people don't book, you know, right away. So we receive the lead, and then what do we, you know, well, yeah, what do we do with that, right? You know, the few key things that, you know, we should be doing. One is the speed. The speed is important, that we need to reach out to that lead as fast as we can. Right. Now, how do we reach to that lead? We can reach out through email, we can call them, and we can text them, right? Different people, and really there's no rule. Some people prefer emails, some people prefer text messages, and some people prefer phone calls. Personally, my preferred way of communication are emails. But, you know, we were on the call earlier today with my crew, and then there's and somebody else is like, oh, I'm completely the opposite. I just love to talk with people on the phone, you know, and somebody, and I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of people, they just love text messages, right? Mm-hmm. So even though my phone conversation is my least favorite, I still call every lead that I receive. I call them, I send them email, and I send them a text message. And the email and text messages are actually, it's a whole chain of emails and text messages. And we talk about, you know, we can talk about it later about it. But, you know, we have to call fast or email fast and do all three of, you know, the three methods or three channels, because we don't know what is the preferred method of the communication for the person that would just reach out to us. You know, so, you know, even majority of people may say they like text messages. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't call them. You know, we should give them the option and see what works the best for them.
Let's go through real quick just the broad strokes of that follow-up. So what does that follow-up sequence look like?
Yeah, so the emails are combined with text messages. So I send an email first, then I send a text message, then I send, you know, after the next day I send an email, and you know, 2 days later I send a text message. But basically my, you know, we call like an email, I think they call it like a drip campaign, right? So that's, you know, let's say my special is valid for 7 days. So the first 4 days, I send an email every day, and I send them a text message every other day. And then toward the week, you know, when the special is over, I send them the last 2 days, again, email reminders and text reminders that the special is over. Okay. But not every mail, every email and every text is about selling. And the email is also, the second email is actually a more deeper look into the social proof. Mm-hmm. The third email is about us, about a lot on the personal side, who we are. And then we start to give them tips about headshots. You know, we give them a whole guide. We give them all, you know, how to even pick a photographer, even if they don't go with us, you know, whether location is better or not. You know, whether what to wear, you know, what kind of clothes to wear, and you know, so we give them a lot of tips, you know, throughout. And our sequence, I think it's right now 13 months long.
Wow.
Yes.
What? Wait, you're following up with the lead for 13 months if they yeah. haven't booked?
Yes.
And for someone that's doubtful, 6 months later, there still are people that convert, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, I learned a few weeks, you know, a few weeks ago, this kind of a thought, diminishing return doesn't mean that there's no return. There's still return.
So, that's so great.
You know, so just because it's less, I still make money, you know? So the whole point is to make it nice and automated, and basically, you know, just keep sending this automatically. So it's on a, you know, on an autopilot. Mm-hmm. And when somebody responds, then you do it manually. But you know, yeah. So, those text emails and text messages, they go through my system. And I, you know, after, so I have a special, and then after, I think 4 months, I have a slightly deeper special. And then so we'll see whether they bite this. Okay. Some people do bite it, some people don't. And then the last email, which is like the I think the 14 months, you know, I send them, okay, this is it. I don't have any more information for you. Those are all the tips. Saying goodbye, you know, this is the last chance if you want. And then believe it, this is so true. On the last email, people still book. I don't know, I still want to book it. So even after 14 months, you know, the people still book it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for reassuring us that that happens.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's also get a report on this. So what does a good job look like as far as conversions from leads to paid business? How do you gauge that?
The landing page conversion, you know, so let's talk about this, the conversion rate optimization. That should be, I would say, between a good, very good one should be between 10, 15, you know, if you're doing a 20 to 30%, it's very good. Okay. But 10, 15 should be like a very good, you know, rate of conversion. Now, the leads to books, you know, a client, we are running, you know, we were much lower right now, but I'm still working on it. But we are at 40% on converting the leads to book sessions.
Wow.
So that's where we, you know, that's where we're focusing a lot, because, you know, the extra converted lead doesn't cost me anything, but it makes me more money. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what we're focusing on a lot. Yeah.
This could have been a really long interview, but we wanted to do an overview on Google Ads because not everybody's running them, and it sounds like everybody should. What haven't we covered about Google Ads that you want to get into this conversation?
Yeah. So, in the past, Google used, you know, when we, you know, when we run Google Ads, we basically define what search terms we want to target. You know, what are the, you know, the things that, you know, when people search for, let's say we want to target, I don't know, professional headshots in New York, let's say. So in the past, there were three types of keyword matching. It was exact match, phrase match, and broad match, right? The exact match is, you know, basically whatever you enter it, if you say, you know, professional headshots in New York, your ads will be displayed or even considered, you know, only for those keywords, for that phrase, you know, it's not going to be anything extra. Now, the phrase match is that, you know, you're going to match, you know, your ads will match anytime a part, you know, that phrase that you entered will be part of the broader search. Okay. So if somebody says searches best professional headshots, New York City, you'll still match, right? On the exact match, you will not. Mm-hmm. And then the broad match was kind of like free fall, you know, like, I mean, freestyle, right? You know, whatever it was, Google thought it was related, they'll put it, right? So even they would say, how to take headshots in New York, you will still, your ads will, you know, post, even though really this is not a, you know, a target audience that we want to reach. Because if somebody says how to take headshots, either it's a do-it-yourself person that doesn't want to spend money on photographer, or is another photographer that wants to learn how to do headshots, right? So that's why, you know, those are not, you know, worth the money. Now, those things changed probably like 21 or 22. So, if, you know, a couple of years ago, that even if you do direct, exact match for your keywords, Google still considers what is the intent of the search versus just a really exact match of the phrase that you do. So that has changed. So, you know, so that the exact campaigns, you know, like, you know, that doesn't, you know, you have to understand that you know, that the search reach will be, you know, broader. Now, the broad match became so much smarter now, you know, because there's AI behind it and all this stuff. So what we recommend now, that when you start campaigns, you actually use broad keywords and do it longer, right? So not just two words, but use like three or four words. So let's best, you know, it should be like best headshot photographer in New York City would be a good longer, you know, longer tail keywords on the broad term to search in, to use in Google Ads. So use few of these, like three to four, then have one exact phrase in that group, and then monitor it. Then you have to, you know, for every you know, the first week, you do it every day, and you monitor it. What are the actual keywords or phrases, or the search term that people use that match your ad? Because you don't want to waste money, right? So you have to monitor, and whatever didn't work, whatever didn't make sense, you just put as a negative keywords. So basically, you're going to exclude from your ads. And let Google learn. And what's important for Google to learn, you have to set up the conversions properly in Google Ads. Because if you don't set up your conversions to Google Ads, Google will not know what is a successful ad. You know, because some people just optimize for clicks, but clicks is meaningless if you don't convert. So you have to, you know, set up in Google Ads what is a conversion. That's the most technical part of the whole Google setup. That's the most technical. That's what we help the people the most, actually, to set up the Google the conversions. Because once you set up the conversions, then you say, okay, we want to optimize for these conversions for these ads, and then we need to provide those conversions to Google in order to learn, right? You cannot just limit the budget to too little for Google not to have any conversions. Because if you have a one conversion a week or, you know, a month, Google will never learn what really works for you. So you have to spend, you know, you have to monitor, and then, you know, sometimes you have to spend a little bit more, a little bit less. You know, if you have a lot of conversions, you don't have to spend that much money. But if you don't have enough conversions, either check whether your ads are, you know, running properly, or the ads are attractive enough, or your landing page is attractive enough, but you have to have those conversions. Or if you think everything is perfect, then increase the budget a little bit more, because, you know, you're not spending enough money, you know, for Google to learn from your ads. So
you've definitely made the case. There are people that are watching that are thinking, oh my gosh, Yannick, teach me, tell us about the digital system that you offer.
So, you know, one thing, they can join my free Facebook group. So that's totally free. They can ask questions there. You know, there's, you know, we have, I think 900 people already in my group. So, you know, so join us. It's Grow Your Photography Business with Yannick. So on Facebook, you can, you know, you can search for it. We can add the link, you know, on the description of the video. And then we do have, I do some, you know, I do mentoring as well. I can set up ads for some people, but then I only can help two people per month. So I already have a waiting list, you know, for the next few months, you know, who I can help. And then basically I set up everything, you know, for you know, for people, and then they take over and they just manage their own ads, you know. So so basically the initial step is so important, you know, because once the Google Ads are run, it's just monitoring. Or they can join my Vasho Digital platform, and that's vashodigital.com. And then one of the options is, you know, we have monthly calls. Like earlier today, I have a monthly mentoring coach, and we talk about business with the platform, you know, how to convert better. But there's an also option with like one-on-one mentoring with me. So, you know, whatever comfort level you have, you know, how much time you want to spend, you know, I can help you, but my time is obviously limited. So the one-on-one mentoring is only one person per geolocation. So some geolocations are already taken because I don't want, you know, the people that I mentor to compete with each other.
Sure.
So that's, you know.
So if you're sitting there now and you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm not growing as fast as I'd like, more leads are literally a credit card away. Yannick, thanks so much for coming on the Professional Photographer Podcast. I appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm already excited to get you our next episode, so make sure you hit subscribe and bing, it'll show up automatically. Also, if you liked the episode, can you give us one of those, like, you know, the thing, the thumbs up, that's really important. And so are comments. Comments let us know that we're doing a good job for you. So if you learned something today from Yannick, give us a thumbs up so we know what's resonating with you with a comment. Okay, if you're not yet a member of PPA, Professional Photographers of America, really? But really? Come on. PPA has incredible resources for you if you're serious about growing your business. We're talking about equipment insurance, top-notch education, a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for a photographer just like you that's ready to go places in 2025. If you want to learn more, visit ppa.com. That's ppa.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community and the publisher of the Small Business Summary newsletter, and your host. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you right here next time. Take care.